Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Maurice Ruett. Let's get into the first news story of today, and that is that the government of provincial unity in Gauteng has, for now at least, collapsed. The ANC was voted into the premiership by the DA, pending sort of further agreements at national and provincial level over what the cabinet would look like. But the DA says that it's not willing to continue with negotiations at the moment until such a time as the ANC changes tack. They said the DA is leaving open the door to negotiations, but believes that it is entitled to far more positions in the cabinet in Gauteng than it currently is. The DA claims that in Gauteng, the ANC was only willing to offer them two or three out of the 11 cabinet posts. The DA says that they are almost level with the ANC in Gauteng. I think the ANC got about 35% in Gauteng and the DA got about 28%. And the DA says as a result, they should have, you know, sort of four or five cabinet posts rather than two or three. The ANC was very aggressive in public against the DA when they were making these demands behind closed doors. They had spokespeople saying that the, I think Lebogang Maile said something along the lines of the DA as being a spoiled brat. And apparently now the ANC's national executive, according to some reporting in the media, has given Panyaza Lesufi the green light to go ahead and announce his executive without including any DA people. Maybe he will include some people from, I don't know, the Patriotic Alliance or the Freedom Front Plus, who also have seats in the provincial legislature. But it's going to be a bit of a problem for Lesufi, because without those that DA support, that means that the ANC will be a minority government in Gauteng, and as if in effect, it will be something more akin to what we previously called the supply and confidence type agreements, where the ANC, if it wants to pass anything to the provincial legislature, has to negotiate on a sort of case-by-case basis, which is not a position any government really wants to be in, because it really forces you to make a lot of concessions and can be quite unstable. But Maurice, what do you make of all this? This is, I think, in some ways, a bit of a test of how important the sort of negotiations at the provincial level are to the national level. Do you think this is going to affect the relations between the DA and ANC at the national level? Or do you think that this will stay contained to Gauteng?
I think at the moment, it's likely to stay contained in Gauteng. When the various GNU negotiations started, and there was talk of this, of the GNU agreements being taken down to provincial level and even municipal level, I thought that was a mistake. I thought it'd be better for the various coalitions and so on to be negotiated on a case-by-case basis. And as we've spoken on the show as well, we spoke about if we went down to municipal level, then someone like Celia Brinker Tshwane would have to bring the ANC into his executive, which I think we both agreed wouldn't be a good idea. So I think at the moment, I think this is actually, I don't think this is a train smash. I think the DA has also done the right thing here by not taking only the two positions. They make a very good point. I mean, they're only 7 or 8 points behind the ANC in Gauteng. As you said, the ANC got about 34, 35. I think the DA got 27 or 28, somewhere around there. So they're just slightly behind the ANC. So it doesn't really make sense for the ANC to get by far the lion's share of posts. So I think the DA has definitely done the right thing here. And in the future, we can see the DA maybe going into government again. But also, we shouldn't be surprised that this is happening in Gauteng. Panyaza Lesufi, as we know, I think he's probably, I think the ANC in Gauteng has always been much closer to the EFF than at national level and in other provinces. And Panyaza Lesufi, I think he himself is ideologically, he's quite close to the kind of stuff the EFF pushes, kind of race nationalism and quite left-wing politics. And that also said, ANC in Gauteng has always been a bit different from the national ANC. When Jacob Zuma was president, the Gauteng ANC was one of the only provinces that pushed back against what Jacob Zuma was doing. David Makura was a big voice in the ANC against Jacob Zuma. So this is all, it's all stuff we've seen before. And overall, I think this is actually a pretty decent outcome. And the DA can get on with the job of being in the opposition in Gauteng and then governing nationally and in or co-governing nationally and in KwaZulu-Natal.
Of course, the ANC could always form a coalition with perhaps the EFF in Gauteng as well. But even if they do form a coalition with the EFF, they still won't have quite enough seats. You need 41 to have a majority in Gauteng's 18-seat legislature. The ANC plus the EFF would be 39 seats. So they'd need one other partner. The options, I suppose, that are most likely are Mkhonto weSizwe with 8 seats, the Patriotic Alliance with 2 seats, or maybe a combination of some of the other smaller parties that have only 1 seat. You can maybe cobble a couple of them together to get a majority. But that's not ideal either, partly because with the EFF, I suspect that they would have very similar demands to what the DA had if they wanted to be in government. You would then have to make concessions probably in kind of policy and prestige on that front. Hasn't been a happy agreement in some parts of the ANC EFF relationship, like in Ekurhuleni, where they have really not gotten on well at all. So maybe Panyaza Lesufi would also face some backlash from his own Gauteng people if he tried to go into coalition with the EFF in Gauteng. So not an easy choice for Lesufi going forward, and I suspect that he's probably going to just see how this minority thing goes for a bit and maybe at a later date reconsider working with either the DA or the EFF, depending on how things go. Any final thoughts, Marius?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does show a little bit of arrogance on the Sufi's part. He only got elected as premier with the help of the DA. And he's definitely, right. It seems that he's definitely reneged on the agreement that the DA and the ANC
had. Yeah, it feels like a bait and
before
switch.
This. Exactly. So, yeah, and maybe Lesufi's also feeling a bit under pressure. I mean, this was the ANC's third West province of the Western Cape in KwaZulu-Natal. And, you know, he was probably thinking if he's premier for another 5 years, he'll get promoted to cabinet minister in 2029. Maybe that's not looking as likely anymore, you know, and he could be the man that loses the ANC for Gauteng. So, I mean, 35% also, that's a 15-point drop. That's as much as the ANC dropped nationally. I mean, they dropped from 50% in 2019 to 34-35% now. So, yeah, Lesufi is really, and we can't just describe, and it's not like Natal where you can ascribe it to the rise of, what's his name, Mkhonto weSizwe. So, yeah, the things have, I don't think things are going too well for Mr. Lesufi at the moment.
Yeah, no. I think Gauteng is an interesting one to watch. It remains a very important province. We'll have to see what comes out here. All right, let's move on to our next story. And this is about the British election. Tomorrow there is going to be an election in Britain or Parliament. And it is very likely that we will see a change in government. Polling suggests that Rishi Sunak's Conservative Party is destined for a historically bad election result after being in power for about, I think it's 14 years, coming to power in 2010. It's been a eventful 14 years for the British nation. They went through Brexit, they had COVID, and there was an awful lot of infighting and chaos amongst the Tories, particularly towards the end there. And it's quite a shocking story, actually, when you look at the polling. Even as recently as sort of 2019, the Tories were in government with a solid majority. They had a pretty popular prime minister at the helm under Boris Johnson, leading the charge. They looked really set. They've just broken through a lot of strongholds of Labour in the north of the country. And the party looked like it was set for a continued era of dominance. But within just a few years, that has completely unraveled. And I think there's a lot of reasons that one can blame. One is that people have been unhappy with the promises the Tories made and how they don't seem to have kind of met them in terms of taking advantage of what they said would be the benefits of Brexit. Some of it is unhappiness with Tory infighting, which has been really bad recently. Some of it is unhappiness with Tory government during COVID. And some of it is just, I think, unhappiness with how the Tories seem to have become sort of bumbling, incompetent, slightly corrupt, and chaotic, rather than being the party of governance, law and order and stability, which is generally what the Conservatives have sort of sold themselves as. At the same time, the Labour Party, which faced this catastrophic defeat back in 2019, seems to have recovered quite nicely. They threw out Jeremy Corbyn as their leader. They moved to the centre on a lot of issues, with their new leader Keir Starmer saying that Labour can only win elections if it's trusted on, I think it's taxes and security. And coming to the centre, they've managed to pick up a lot of the slack where the Conservatives have been shedding At the same time, the Conservatives are facing a revolt from the right, with the Reform Party, formerly the Brexit Party, led by Nigel Farage, taking a significant number of their votes. And one of the big questions in the next election is going to be whether Reform can possibly challenge the percentage of the vote that the Tories might get. Now, that being said, because of the way that Britain's electoral system works, it's very unlikely that the Reform Party under Farage will get anything more than maybe 3 or 4 seats, even if they get a similar number of votes to the Conservatives. Depends how badly the Conservatives do. There's been estimates in the number of seats that they'll I think there's something like 600 seats in the British Parliament.
650.
There are estimates that 650. There's estimates that the Tories could drop anywhere between 50 to 120. Those are kind of the range that's being thrown about. They seem to have trended up slightly in the past couple of weeks, but it's still looking like an incredible wipeout for them. The Labour is going to have this absolutely massive majority, possibly even bigger than the majority they got under Tony Blair. Now, I think there's a lot to consider here. Firstly, it may come down to it at the end that because Labour is expected to win so, to quote Trump bigly, that some of their voters may, who are a little bit uncertain about them or, you know, just weren't that excited to vote in the first place, won't actually bother to go out and vote because they think, oh, we've got this in the bag, which might reduce their total a bit. And also, I think it's going to be important for Keir Starmer to stay on the centre road. The Tories' attack line on him in the last couple of weeks here has been something along the lines of, he's too vague on some of his policies. You can't trust him on taxes. You can't trust him on this or that. You'll regret voting for Labour, as it's become clear that there's no chance that they're going to win. But Marius, what do you make of this? Do you think Keir Starmer is set up to be a good Prime Minister of Great Britain? Do you think Labour has any good ideas when it comes into government?
Yeah, they seem to be, they're not nearly as lefty as they were under Jeremy Corbyn. They seem a little bit more centrist now. There's still some, quite left-wing people in the party, such as Angela Rayner, who will probably be the deputy prime minister or have quite a senior post in a Keir Starmer government. They've also seemed to have moved the centre on the kind of cultural issues. Keir Starmer was asked a little while ago, can a woman have a penis? And he was like, yes, well, sometimes, what have you. And now recently he seems to have changed his mind a bit on that and says, it's pretty impossible for women to have a penis. Can't even believe we have to talk about this kind of stuff. So he does seem he's moved a bit more to the center ground on social issues as well. But I know that is also a problem for a lot of women who do feel that Labour is kind of, they don't really take women's rights seriously. And there's been some talk about even women who've been voting Labour and who've been pretty left-wing, thinking of voting for other parties, you know, whether that's the Greens or the Tories or whatever the case is. But I think this is this could be quite a historic election, obviously, depending what happens. If the Tories get absolutely wiped out and get fewer than 100 seats, that could pose an existential crisis for the party, especially if Reform managed to do quite well. I think you're right. I really don't think Reform is going to get many seats, but it could, in its proportion of the vote, could get very close to the Tories. And I actually saw a poll today that said Reform could get 20% of the vote and the Tories could only get 16%. So that would be an absolutely shocking result for the Tories. And they might not even be the second biggest party in Parliament. There's some polls that have said the Liberal Democrats could be the second biggest party. So, and that's then quite, if you the official opposition in the British Parliament, you get more time to ask questions, your leader gets more prominence in debates and so on. So if the Tories don't even have that, that'll be quite difficult for them to also stay kind of front and center in people's minds and so on. So yeah, it's going to be, and also with the Labour, they're going to get an absolutely thumping majority, and they could get 2/3 of the votes in Parliament. And while you don't have the same kind of rights in the British Parliament as you do in the South African Parliament, if you get more than 2/3 of the vote, obviously, if you get 2/3, you can change certain things. Britain's not quite the same. It's whether your majority is 50% of seats plus one or, 80%, you pretty much have the same kind of powers. But it comes down to where opposition, especially, say, the Tories, if they don't even have MPs to sit on various committees and act as watchdogs for the Labour government, that's also... So depending how badly the Tories do, the main opposition to Labour might actually come from within the Labour Party. So, yeah, it's I mean, the only question really about tomorrow is how far Labour's going to win by. I think it's pretty much a done deal. And then just finally, there's also the other interesting election, which we're not going to have time to talk about, is the French election on Sunday, which could also see quite a lot of change in Europe, especially if the National Rally, Marine Le Pen's party wins, or if the left wing, I think they call themselves a New Popular Front, also do quite well. So I think President Macron's also in trouble in France. But yeah, 2024 is already turning out to be quite an interesting year, and we're only 6 months in.
Yeah, and I don't think we've even discussed the Indian election, where the BJP underperformed expectations quite significantly, which I think says some interesting things about how India's electoral system remains quite robust, I think, in a lot of ways. But anyway, that's, I think, not... No, we don't have time to discuss that today. But yeah, the British election is going to be interesting to see whether there can be a little bit of recovery by the Conservatives, or whether they are destined to be swallowed ultimately by Reform. If that poll that you suggested, Morris, is right, and that Reform gets 20% of the vote and the Conservatives get 16, it doesn't really matter how many seats there are. You know, Nigel Farage will have a very strong case to make that he should be leader of the Conservative Party. So that's there's
And there's people in the Conservatives who would be happy with that. I mean, there's two factions in the Tories at the moment. Some people who'd be happy with Farage and other people who wouldn't touch him with a barge pole. So.
Exactly. So, you know, who knows what would happen then to British politics, but we may well see the collapse of a party, whether that be Reform because it doesn't manage to quite break through, or the Conservatives because Reform has beaten them. But that's a discussion for another day. Anyway, that's a wrap for today. We'll see you tomorrow. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.